chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. We might read verse 8. He shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless or unimpeachable or unaccusable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like you to notice that expression, God is faithful. Now turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And reading at verse 15. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Reading verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And to from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Now turn to the Epistle to Titus. Titus chapter 1, and we might read at verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast in the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. Holding fast in the faithful word. Now one more scripture in the second epistle of Timothy. Timothy's second epistle. And we might read verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, or from me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now you'll notice from these scriptures that we have read together, no doubt the thought that's before our mind. It's faithfulness. And first we have to do with a faithful God. I'm thankful that the God that has undertaken for us has promised to see us through. He's a faithful God. He doesn't undertake a work without assuring us that that work is going to complete, to be completed. He hasn't saved us and left us to wander through this world aimlessly and wander through at our own charge. He has promised to see us through to the end. And so we have to do with a faithful God. And in connection with the faithful God, it's in view of His coming in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In chapter 10, it has to do with trials and temptation. And so He says, He will confirm you unto the end. He's going to confirm us unto the end. And then He speaks about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll notice we read about a faithful high priest. The Lord Jesus is a faithful high priest. And He's faithful to God, and He's merciful as far as we, His people, are concerned. Then we read with you in the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus, He's the faithful witness. Now, I might say that has to do with testimony. Just as He was the faithful witness, so He wants us, His people, to be witnesses for Him, and He expects us to be faithful in the scene in which He has left us as witnesses. The Lord Jesus fully fulfilled the place of a faithful witness while He was here on earth. Now, in our next scripture, it's the faithful word. And He tells us what we're to do with that faithful word. He has committed to our trust the faithful word of God. He has put something in our hand that we can depend upon. He hasn't put something in our hand that we need to be ashamed of or that we can't depend upon. He has put something in our hand that we can put our foot upon and know absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's going to stand us good and it's going to be fulfilled and carried out to the very letter. So it's the faithful word of God that He has put in our hand. Then you'll notice in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is speaking to his son Timothy in the faith. And in the closing verses of the previous chapter, he reminds them and he says, all in Asia have forsaken me. They had all forsaken him. That part of the country, Asia Minor, they had all turned away from him. The same part as John speaks of as the seven churches, and they all forsook him. They all departed from him. Now he turns to Timothy in the opening verses of chapter 2, and he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And he says, commit thou to faithful men, the things that you have heard of me and the things that you have learned from me. Now that's how God carries on His work today and has carried it on down through the generations. He has carried it on by His word being committed to faithful men, men who are going to carry out that word and men who are going to honor that word. And so He says, committed unto faithful men. Last evening we were hearing about the soul of the people being much discouraged because of the way. Now, if there's anything that God's people are being affected by today, I feel it's discouragement. A lot of God's people are being discouraged in this present day. And there's every reason for discouragement as we look around us. We hear a great deal of the black plague of communism. And we hear a great deal of Rome on the rampage. Rome taking on the aggressive spirit. And we might well fear those things. But the thing that is a black plague and the thing that we need to fear amongst us as God's people today is not so much those things as the thing that we're overlooking It's the black plague of carnality and carelessness that's settling down upon us as the people of God. You know, when assemblies get established as they are today, those in a bygone day, they bought the truth of God and they purchased it at a price, and it cost them a great deal to purchase the truth that we have in our hand today. But what about those truths today? There certainly needs to be a great revival amongst us as God's people regarding those very truths. In Christendom today, there's a great stir and a great revival as far as the gospel is concerned. And thank God for it. It's grand to see the gospel going forth. It's grand to hear of the gospel being sounded forth to men and women, and men and women hearing the glad tidings of salvation. But what about our assemblies today? The truths of God are being let slip and being held lightly, and those who are coming up in our assemblies at the present time that have never really purchased the truth of God, they're letting those truths slip through their fingers, as it were, and they're not valuing those truths as those who purchased them at a great price. And so we need to be on our guard, and we need to fear those things today. Carnality settling down, and we settling upon our ease. Was it not then when David had the great crash in his life? The kingdom is in his hand. He has seen great victory one after another, and now the kingdom is in his hand. And we see David at that very moment, the great crash came in his life when he let down the bars, as it were, and he felt everything is going well and he's settling upon his lees. There's a great danger amongst us as God's people today, letting those truths that are precious to the people of God, let them slip, as it were. But thank God we have a faithful God, although we may be unfaithful. God is still faithful, and he's still the faithful God, in spite of the fact that there's much unfaithfulness on our part as the people of God. And so he says here, God is faithful. Oh, I thank God for those words. To think that God is faithful in spite of the unfaithfulness of his people, and in spite of my unfaithfulness as an individual to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nice to see men and women faithful to God and to his word. It's nice to see men and women standing and holding the word of God and holding those truths, but not holding them in a carnal way. There's only one way to hold the truth of God, and that is to hold it in love and to practice it in the same way. Now he says, God is faithful. And he's faithful in that he'll confirm us unto the end. Unto the end. You know, as we said, God isn't just going to let us sail through, as it were, and leave us to ourselves. He has promised to be with us, and he says he's the faithful God, and he'll confirm us to the end. You say, do you believe in confirmation? Well, I was confirmed as a youngster of about 13 years of age. I was in the Episcopal Church, and the bishop put his hands upon my head, and I was confirmed. You know, I went out from that scene of confirmation, as they say, and I remember it as vividly as I remember this moment that I'm standing before you. I went outside the door, and I stood by the door of that building, and I made up my mind, I'm going to live to the best of my ability to the vows that I have taken today. Well, didn't that do you any good, my friend? It did me absolutely no good. But God saw there was an honest heart there. God saw there was an honest heart. And when the moment came and I heard the gospel, that heart was open to the gospel, and I embraced the gospel of God. Do we believe in confirmation as an ordinance? Certainly no. But we believe in the confirmation that the apostle speaks of here. He says he'll confirm you unto the end. I hope we'll get confirmed in this conference today. I hope there'll be confirmation on the part of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? I mean to be established in the truth of God and to get our faith pinned afresh upon the Christ of God and upon God Himself. And to see this, we have to deal with a faithful God, one that will never fail us and one that will never let us down, one that has promised to see us through to the very end. Ah, yes, we believe in the confirmation that the Word of God speaks of. There was a young lad got saved in the meetings in Chicago a number of years ago. A grandson of Mr. Gould. And after he got saved, about 4 or 5 nights after, somebody said to him, "How is it with you now, Georgie?" And he said to them, "Well," he says, "every night I listen," he says, "I feel saveder and saveder." Well, what did he mean by that? Well, it simply meant that he was being confirmed. The Word of God was getting into his soul, and he was being confirmed in the thing. And I hope there'll be the confirmation, not only as far as our salvation is concerned, but our confirmation in the truths of God that are precious to the hearts of God's people. Now, he says, God is faithful. He says he'll confirm you unto the end. And these people, he says, are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says he'll present you blameless, or unimpeachable, or unaccusable in that day before him. Ah, thank God when we stand before him, it'll be to be presented blameless, without a word of accusation laid against us. The hymn writer puts it and he says, "Reach my dear Savior first, take him from God's esteem. Prove in him one spot of sin, then tell me I'm unclean." Ah, thank God in that day he'll present us unimpeachable and unaccusable before himself in the presence of God. So he's going to see us through. You know, next we read about the ship. Well, it was broken to pieces, but they all escaped safe to land. On pieces of boards and wreckage, but they all escaped safe to land. Thank God. God is going to land us all safely home in heaven. Now he's a faithful God. And that's the God that we have to deal with in spite of our unfaithfulness. Now he says, we have a faithful high priest. Now these things should be encouraging to our hearts as the people of God. If there's anything we need to be encouraged. And instead of being discouraged and discouragement getting into our souls and eating the very vitals out of us, we need a little encouragement, and it should encourage your heart and mind this morning to know this. I have to do with a faithful God. And not only a faithful God, but I have a faithful high priest. A faithful high priest. Now you'll notice in the previous chapter, he's speaking about bringing many sons unto glory. And he's bringing them unto glory. That's what he's doing. And he says the reason he came was that he might destroy him, that is the devil, that had the power of death, and deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Ah, he has done that. He has delivered us who through the fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. And now, after speaking on that line, then he reminds them, and he says in the closing verses of chapter 2. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him that he might be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." Ah, he had to become like unto his brethren. He had to become just like us, apart from sin. And he had to step into our shoes, as it were, and he had to take our place, and he had to take our sins upon him, and put those sins away. But thank God he has not only done that, but he has ascended on high, where he is today, as our great high priest. He's there in the presence of God, carrying on a work for us. The work on the cross is done. It's finished. Once and forever done, but he's carrying on a work today. And what is that work? It's tending to the needs of his people. And as we sometimes sing, he tends with sweet, unwearied care the flock for which he bled. We read in Leviticus, the priest went into the presence of God, and he went in with the blood, and he sprinkled it before the altar, and he sprinkled it upon the altar. And he comes out from that scene, and he lifts his hand in blessing upon the people. Ah, our high priest has entered in by his own blood, and he has come out now in blessing to the people. He has come out now, as it were, and put his arms around his own, and that heart of compassion yearns over his own, and he has a heart of compassion for all of the people of God, and he's able to succor them that are tempted. Yes, we're passing through a scene where there's temptation and trial and such like, but we have a faithful high priest, one that knows the way we have taken, one that knows every sigh and every sorrow and heartbreak that's common to the hearts of the people of God, and one that can sympathize with the people of God. He's a faithful high priest. And he's there for us in the presence of God. Now you'll notice the next scripture we read is in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ again. And there we have him as the faithful witness. The faithful witness. Yes, he witnessed a good confession in the presence of Pilate. He stood there in the presence of Pilate and he witnessed in his presence, and it was a good confession. He witnessed for God his Father in this world, and that witness that he bore in this scene, where did it lead him to? It led him to the cross of Calvary. And let me say this, a faithful witness for Christ will have the same treatment that the Master himself received. The reason we're not possibly having a little persecution from the world is because we're not faithful witnesses. You know, you won't have the applause of the world if you're witnessing faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have the applause of the world. And when a man is getting the applause of the world, there's something wrong. The Lord Jesus never received the applause of the world. Never. Why? Because he put his finger on the sore spot. And he spoke to the scribes and Pharisees, those religious leaders of the day. And what did he say? Fools and hypocrites. He says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? My friend, if you pat the rulers or the leaders, the religious leaders of the world on the shoulder, you'll get along all right. The world will applaud you and be the will. And the world will give you a great name. But as soon as you speak as a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and take his word and preach that word and speak it faithfully, the same treatment will come, my friend, as came to the Son of God himself. And the reason it doesn't come is because there isn't the faithful witnessing. You know, when you go hand in glove with the world will say you're a fine fellow. And if as a Christian you say, well, I don't believe in dancing, but I'll go to the dance hall and I'll watch you dance. Oh, you'll be a fine fellow. And you'll say, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in playing baseball. But I'll go to the baseball game. The world will tell you, well, you're all right. He's a good fellow. He's in with his idea. But the moment you stand outside of these things, and the moment you take your stand entirely outside of them, you're going to get the frown of the world. And you're going to get the persecution of the world. The reason the assemblies of God's people don't get the applause of the world is because they're outside of the religious world. If we were in the religious world, we'd be getting applause from the religious world. But there's no applause from the religious world when there's faithful witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come out from among them, God says, concerning his people. They're to come out from those things and to be separated from the world in its every form. Whether it's politically, socially, religiously, or any other way, God's people are a separated people outside of it all, and they're to be faithful witnesses for our absent but soon coming Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Job isn't mentioned among the faithful men, or the men that are mentioned as the mighty men. Didn't Job do many mighty things? Why, he was the captain of the king's army. and he was on the lips of every man in Israel. Job, the captain of the king's army, the mighty man Job, but he's not amongst the mighty men when the list is made up. There'll be many, I'm afraid, in that day that are mighty in the eyes of the world, but won't be on the list, as it were, when the list is made up. And when we see the list in heaven, there won't be amongst the mighty men. Why? Job was all for himself. There were those who weren't known amongst them, Israel, and were non-entities as far as the rank and file of Israel were concerned. But they were on the list of the mighty men of David, and they received the honor and the reward as those amongst the mighty men. It pays to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek to be a faithful witness. Now, he says, he has given us the faithful word. And notice concerning the faithful word. He says, holding forth the faithful word, that you may be able to convince the gainsayer. There's much gainsaying on every hand today. And there's much amongst God's people today that we need to be able to turn to the faithful Word of God and to open the Word of God and to open it faithfully. Now, he says, holding forth that faithful Word. And again, he says, holding fast that faithful Word. God has given us this faithful Word. And you know what he says? He says, God is not a man that he should repent. He's not a man that he should lie. And he's not the son of man that he should repent. He says, hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He certainly will. He certainly will. It's the faithful word of God that he has put in your hand and mine. And he expects us to hold fast and to hold forth this faithful word that he has given to us as the people of God. And so we have the faithful word of God in our hand. Now, he says to Timothy, he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he says, concerning the things which thou hast heard, and the things that you have learned, he says, commit unto faithful men. Faithful men. What God is looking for today is faithful men. He doesn't say learned men. He doesn't say intelligent men. He doesn't say men with great powers of organization. He says commit unto faithful men. Men that are willing to take the truth of God and to hold the truth of God and to stand upon that truth of God at all costs. At all costs. My, the apostle could speak along those lines himself. He was a faithful man. From the day he was saved, until he laid his head upon Nero's block, he never turned back. He was faithful to the one who had redeemed him by his precious blood, and he sealed his testimony with his blood, and others of the apostles had to do the same. Matthew, he was lanced to death in Ethiopia. Mark, he was dragged through the streets of Greece until his life ebbed from his body. Look, he was hanged upon an olive tree in Greece. All the rest of the apostles received a similar death. Why? Because they were faithful witnesses. And because they held forth the faithful word of God. And they stood for the faithful word of God. They were faithful men. You know, there's a lot of faithful men being removed from our midst today. A lot of faithful men. You'll hear all over the country of certain ones being taken home to heaven, and you can say it's a calamity when certain men are removed from certain assemblies. You can feel that when they go, it's a letdown as far as the assembly is concerned. It's grand when we have faithful men among us, men that are able to hold the Word of God and to hold it in love, holding fast the faithful word. He says, commit the faithful men, the things you have seen, the things that you have learned. And may God help us then as a people to be encouraged by the fact that we have a faithful God to do it, that we have a faithful high priest in the presence of God, that we have an example in our faithful witness, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might hold fast
call forth the faithful word, looking for his appearing. And thank God, he'll be here soon. And his reward is not to a successful servant. He says, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.